Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network, AFR. We appreciate you listening to American Family Radio. I'm Tim Wildman. Joining me in Dallas to co-host the program today is Dr. Ray Pritchard. Good morning, Ray.
Good morning, Tim. And it was sure good to have you here in Texas a couple of days ago, and glad you made it back home.
Yeah, I had a great time. Let me introduce the rest of the slightly better than average panel we have here with us today, and then we'll get into the program. But I do want to speak to the event we had in Dallas, Plano area. Walker, good morning to you. Walker Wildman.
Good morning.
So did I just hear an advertisement? You got a new show starting this weekend?
You did. Starting this Saturday, 2:30 p.m. Central Time, I will air a 30-minute show. I will host a 30-minute show talking about Washington, D.C., and I'm going to – what makes the show different than what you hear every day on AFR is I'm going to dig deep into the details of the news, probably take one topic at a time for each show, and I'm going to mention names and places.
You're
and
calling people out?
Probably so.
What's the name of the show?
Exposing Washington.
Wow.
Yeah.
Pretty provocative. Is that your idea?
Yeah, that was my idea. I had
did you run it by your boss?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
I had a few other people brainstorm with me on the title, so that's what we settled with. And if folks want to know what's going on in Washington, both good and bad, then they can tune into the show.
Will folks be able to download the podcast too?
Yes, the show will be posted on AFR.net, and you can also download it on the iTunes store, which is Apple devices, and on Android devices.
Like 2 days from now?
Yes, 2 days from now.
Exposing Washington with Walker Wildman.
That's right.
All right, look forward to that. Fred Jackson, good morning, Fred Jackson.
Good morning. This is the only show I'm involved with.
Yeah. News director for American Family Radio and OneNewsNow.com. Yeah, Ray, you and I were at the Hope Center in Plano, Texas on, what night was that, Fred?
Tuesday night, right?
Tuesday night. With Dan Celia.
Right.
And
that was an amazing event.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah. You know, we had somewhere around 450 to 500 people there, and it was so good to meet so many of our listeners. Of course, Dan's a rock star.
Yes.
To those people, I mean, they were there to see Dan. They, you know, Tim was kind of, you know, the opening act there. But I did enjoy meeting folks. Had some Walker Wildman fans too come up to me and said, "Hey, Walker's really doing great. He's, you know, he's coming into his own and mm-hmm. and everything." And I said, "Yeah, and." Don't keep going and
don't stop now.
Yeah, there was no hey, and you're doing a great job too, Tim. Just wanted to say. No, I got a little bit of that, but it was wonderful. Ray, don't you think just getting out and meeting folks who listen to AFR, to a lot of them too.
There were hundreds of people there from all over Texas. Some, you know, there was a fellow who drove 5 hours up from Houston. People came from all parts of the state. And Dan Celia, listen, folks, if you've never heard him, I mean, you've heard him on the radio, but Tim, I think it's different when he's standing there in front of you.
Yes.
I had never heard him speak like that. Phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
Unbelievable presentation of history and economics and investing and wisdom. And he shared his testimony. I thought it was a superb evening. And I think we got a couple more of these town halls scheduled, and encourage our listeners, when we come to your area, be sure and come and say hello and listen to Dan Celia's presentation.
Yeah, we're going to be in Little Rock in February, but today is February. February the
15th.
15th. We'll be in Little Rock at the Geyer Springs First Baptist Church. Many people know where that is. That's right off the interstate there, going south from Little Rock toward Texarkana. But we'll be there. But if you want to register for that, it's a free event, but you need to register because, it'll be Dan Celia, a town hall meeting, and I'll be there as well. Look forward to meeting a lot of our listeners in Arkansas. But you need to register at AFAFoundation.com, Walker?
.net.
AFAFoundation.net.
That's right.
AFAFoundation.net. AFAFoundation.net. It's very simple to register. It won't take you 5 minutes, but we just for crowd purposes, we need to know that you're going to be there. AFAFoundation.net. Just simply register there. I'll give you a phone number how to register to later, but that's coming up February 15th in Little Rock. All right, Fred Jackson, what's going on in the news? Slow news day?
Hasn't been a slow news day in about 10 years.
Okay.
But here's the latest. President Donald Trump just left Washington a few moments ago. He's taking a short flight to a rural area in West Virginia where Republicans are meeting over the next couple of days for a strategy session. However, making headlines this morning is the possible release today of what has been called this FISA memo. Now, this is basically coming out of the House Intelligence Committee, and there's been a lot of talk about this, especially over the last two or three days, because the chairman of that committee, Devin Nunes, Republican Devin Nunes, is basically put it out there that this memo is going to contain information of the DOJ and the FBI using the now famous dossier that was put together with the help of the Hillary Clinton election campaign, that the DOJ and the FBI used material from that politically charged dossier to take to the FISA court. Now, remember, that was set up to catch terrorists. But they took it to the FISA court and ordered and were able to get, according to what we know from now, right now, they were able to get permission from the FISA court to do some spying on the then Donald Trump election campaign. Now, you have probably seen in the headlines in the last 24 hours that the ranking member, the Democrat ranking member on that intelligence committee, Adam Schiff, Congressman Adam Schiff from California, saying, shouldn't happen. It's wrong. In fact, he has accused Nunes of basically outright lying in this memo that we may get to see even later today. And now you have certain members of the FBI saying, no, there's inaccurate information in this. So this morning on Fox and Friends, Congressman Mark Meadows of North Carolina, who chairs the Freedom Caucus Committee, he talked to Congressman Nunes last night on the phone. And he wanted to know, okay, where are we going with this? You say there's useful information in there. There are charges that you have changed the wording of the memo since the House voted to release this, and it was a partisan vote anyway. And here's what Congressman Meadows had to say about the charges that are being made already before we even see this memo, trying to, the FBI trying to discredit it, and also Adam Schiff of the Democrats. Let's play cut number three.
I'm one of the few that have actually read the Democrat memo. And if they'll correct some of the factual errors and sourcing issues there, I'm all for releasing that. Mm-hmm. Nothing in their memo contradicts what was in the original Republican memo, and that's important if this is released. Even the FBI did not find any factual inaccuracies in the memo when they reviewed it. I call on us appointing a special counsel, a second one, mm-hmm. to investigate the investigators. I think that the American people want to make sure that Lady Justice has a blindfold, and it's not just the well-connected that get off, because they wouldn't if they were under the same set of circumstances.
So what is Congressman Meadows saying there? He is saying that in this memo, there are indications, as I just outlined, DOJ, FBI use the FISA court, weaponize the FISA court to get information on the Donald Trump election campaign. Now, you just heard him say this possibly should lead to a second inquiry. Now, what's the first inquiry? This is the Robert Mueller investigation, which allegedly is about Russian involvement with the campaign.
Yum.
What he is suggesting is, you heard him say, and I correct me if I'm wrong.
Who was that we were hearing? This
was Congressman Mark Meadows, okay, of North Carolina, head of the Freedom Caucus. He said maybe we need a second investigation to investigate those investigators. Now, why is he saying that? Because the FBI that would have been involved in getting the FISA court to get these surveillance of these Donald Trump campaign workers. The head of the FBI at the time was James Comey. James Comey, really good friends with Robert Mueller, who's heading up this alleged Russian involvement with the election campaign.
All right. Hey, Walker, we failed to mention we're on Facebook Live today, right?
We are. If you're on Facebook, visit the Today's Issues Facebook page. You can watch the show, read the news articles, and comment. Share your thoughts on the show.
Facebook Live, Today's Issues. Ray, what do you think about all this?
Well, number one, I'm glad they are going to release the memo. And I think it's going to cause a revolution. I don't mean a revolution in the streets, but I think people are going to be really upset, up in arms. I mean, the heart of America, to find out. I think it's going to be pretty clear that there were elements in the Justice Department and the FBI who are actively, as a part of their official duties, or at least using their prerogatives, working to influence against Donald Trump and in favor of Hillary Clinton in the 2016 election. That is anti-democratic. That's the end of the democratic system. So I think we're going to be shocked when this comes out. And I'm glad the president is going to, maybe by noon today, is going to be out, and the truth is going to be there for all of us to read.
Congressman Devin Nunes, who I say chairs this intelligence committee, I just want to read a portion of the statement he put out late yesterday afternoon. He says the FBI has been stonewalling the intelligence committee's efforts to get to the bottom of this. And he says, despite, you know, you're hearing objections about material omissions in the memo, et cetera, et cetera. Nunes said overnight that they made some grammatical, corrected some grammatical errors, but nothing has changed. Listen to this. I'm going to quote now directly from what Nunes had to say yesterday afternoon. Regardless, it's clear that top officials, he's talking about in the FBI and DOJ, it's clear that top officials used unverified information in a court document to fuel a counterintelligence investigation during an American political campaign. Once the truth gets out, we can begin taking steps to ensure our intelligence agencies and courts are never misused like this again. End quote. Now, the memo's coming out, but that told me yesterday exactly what this memo's going to say.
Yeah, I don't know I think this is going to shock us. I don't think you can prepare yourself enough to read the memo when it comes out and take it as you're reading any normal document. I think even after it's being hyped up like this, I think it's still going to be shocking to actually read the names involved. But
are there names in there?
I believe there will be names in there.
Yes. We believe the report that we hear is recently fired Deputy FBI Director Andrew McCabe's name is going to be in this memo.
Yes. And so I think that if this memo is going in the direction which the reports say, which means that the Russian dossier that was used by the DNC and the Hillary Clinton campaign, if that was used to get a warrant to spy on American citizens, then that undermines the entire special counsel and their purpose, which means Mueller would have to close the doors and shut off the lights of the special counsel's office because he has no purpose, because everything he is investigating is built on falsehoods. So I don't know how Mueller stays around if the memo exposes what I think it does.
Well, and this is going to be released today?
We're not sure. There's a report. Could be today. It could be tomorrow.
Yeah. You know, this is extremely, as has been, if this is true, you know what? Had this happened in reverse, and you would have had a Republican administration doing what they've done here to spy on Hillary Clinton. As much as I dislike Hillary Clinton and the things she stands for, I would have been appalled, as I think any American should be, that our government was used in a way that's done in Russia, for example. Or other places, China, for example, other places around the world. In other words, what appears to have happened here, if we're reading this correctly, and it doesn't seem to me any way we could read it any differently, is that the Federal Bureau of Investigation was weaponized, so to speak. Is that the right word, Fred?
Yes, sir.
weaponized to be used against a major, one of the two major political candidates for president of the United States in an unlawful and illegitimate way. And they were spying on him. Mm. Remember when everybody mocked President, then candidate Trump, said, "Oh, he's whacked out, man. He thinks he's paranoid. He thinks he's being spied on." Well, I guess he was being yes. spied on, Ray.
You know, it seems to me one of the sadder
people should go to jail. By the way,
well, yeah. Heads should roll. People should go to jail, right?
Yeah.
One of the sad things about this is, I mean, when I was growing up, you looked at the FBI and you held them in the highest esteem, right? That, I mean, that for years they had this terrific reputation. And one of the sad fallouts of this is that if you're talking about the rank and file men and women of the FBI, by and large, this is a great group of dedicated people. It's the folks at the top, right? It's people in positions of power who evidently misused their positions to try to influence an election. And that casts a stain over the whole FBI, which is really tragic. So, Tim, I won't agree with you. When this memo comes out, if what we think is in it, heads should roll,
yeah.
and somebody needs to go to jail.
What about, Walker, what about James Comey, the former FBI director? Would he have had to sign off on a, again, what they did, folks, just to, I know this sometimes gets confusing. Walker, correct me if I'm wrong here.
Yeah.
Just in layman's terms, I'm trying to understand this. What happened was, we think the memo is going to reveal, but what happened was that the FBI used information based on this dossier. Dossier means a collection of information, basically, mm-hmm. that was paid for by Hillary Clinton's campaign or the DNC.
Both, yeah.
To try to dig up dirt on President Trump, or in this case, make up dirt.
Yes.
On then-candidate Trump. Okay. So this unverified information that the FBI then took and went to this FISA court. Now, a FISA court was created post 9/11 to give, you know, we have a system of justice in this country, so you can't just go and spy on people without a warrant, right?
Right.
So you have a warrant, basically, in essence, that's what it is, given by a judge, thus the name FISA court. What does FISA stand for?
Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act.
Okay. So they used that, went to this FISA court and said, use this false information.
Right.
To say we need to spy on the Trump campaign.
Correct.
Right?
Yeah, that's right. And in order to get that warrant, not only do you need the judge's approval, which was reportedly denied the first time, but you need either James Comey, the FBI director's signature on the application, or you need someone above him, which will be Rod Rosenstein. I think James Comey's name is going to be on the applications to the FISA court before his firing, and I think that Rod Rosenstein's signature is going to be on renewals of the spying after Trump is in office because James Comey was fired. I think both of those signatures are going to be signed off on spying on American citizens, specifically on Trump and his associates.
Okay, then should not Attorney General Jeff Sessions then, if all this is true, Fred, not go after James Comey and the others for criminal violations?
Absolutely. If all of this is true, just as Walker has been saying, Rosenstein, who is still the Deputy Attorney General of the United States, if his name is in this memo that he was involved in permitting this dossier to be used, remember the name of the court, Federal...
Foreign Intelligence Surveillance
Foreign
Court.
Foreign Intelligence. What does that have to do with the election campaign of Donald Trump? You're trying to find out information about that election campaign. Now, here's the other thing that still bothers me. I don't think, if this all of this is true, I believe then Attorney General Loretta Lynch was aware of this too. She was aware of it too. And who was her boss?
Well, to your point, Fred, to solidify that theory, Dan Bongino, which is a former Secret Service agent who often appears on Fox News now, he was on Hannity's show, or no, he was on Tucker Carlson's show on Fox News the other night, and he said he believes from what he's heard that this intelligence that was gathered on the Trump campaign was included in President Obama's daily briefings that he receives each morning. So that's what he said, and that would implicate
the president,
the attorney general, and the president.
So the thread goes all the way to the Oval Office.
President Obama.
Yes, if that turns out to be true.
Well, of course, to add to that, Walker, many people believe the reason that Hillary Clinton was not charged by James Comey, he couldn't charge her, well, maybe he could, recommended that a grand jury investigate by Hillary Clinton over her, email. Her state department emails being on a private server, which is illegal, is that, and he claimed, James Comey did at the time, the FBI director, that he couldn't find intent, which is, he made up that one as a, if you've been driving 75 and a 55, folks, and you know, the police pull you over and you go, I never intended to drive 20 miles over the, do they give you a break? They may have mercy on you, but that's no reason. You know, ignorance is no excuse for the law. Well, Hillary Clinton intended to violate the law because that's why she set up the server to avoid congressional oversight in the first place. And James Comey knew that. But anyway, many people believe that the reason that he let her off the hook, even though she was guilty of sin, is because it would have implicated President Obama, because he too was communicating with Hillary Clinton via this her private server, her private email server. So anyway, this could potentially, as you say, Fred, go all the way to President Obama's desk.
Let us not forget, just a few days before James Comey announced there would be no charges against Hillary Clinton,
right?
Loretta Lynch, Attorney General, meets with Bill Clinton on the tarmac.
A meeting that was never supposed to be public.
That's right. They met. And then a few days later, James Comey, who comes under Loretta Lynch, announces no charges against Hillary Clinton.
Right.
And the American people were asked to believe that they just talked Loretta Lynch and Bill Clinton in that airplane about their kids.
Right.
No mention.
Well, Loretta Lynch, the attorney, and Bill Clinton, too, himself a lawyer. Loretta Lynch, the Attorney General of the United States. She knew better.
Of course.
Just the appearance of meeting with the husband of a target, quote in quotes, of your department is completely unacceptable in the world of law.
Yes.
To do that. That's a violation of ethics.
That's right.
And, you know, the Clinton administration is big on ethics. and it was a violation of ethics. So, well, we'll see what happens here today. I don't know why they wouldn't release it.
One more word of caution, folks that are going to be listening. If this is released today, expect a storm of stories from the secular media quoting Adam Schiff saying, no, this is all wrong. He's the Democrat. And expect a storm of stories from the FBI saying no. That Nunes, this memo was, the attempt to try to discredit this memo will be incredible.
Well, now, what we heard at the news at the top of the hour was those who've seen the Democratic memo, Meadows, what was it, Meadows? He said there's nothing in the Democrat memo that substantially changes what the Republicans are saying.
Yes. Right.
The Democrats just don't want it released because it's going to destroy the Mueller investigation.
Exactly.
And it may reflect badly on President Obama and his administration. Mm-hmm. And so the Democrats are trying to cover for them.
Yes.
Huh? That's all that is. Mm-hmm. All right, we're going to be back momentarily with more of today's issues on the American Family Radio Network. Hey, we've got an excellent new documentary we're releasing called The God Who Speaks. We're going to tell you about it momentarily. And more of what's in the news today. Stay with us.
King of the Wild Frontier.
The music's free. I know we call it Learning University.
Of necessity.
Trivia Friday.
True.
Ding, ding, ding,
yes.
Ding, ding.
Yes. Oh, really?
That's correct. Giraffes do not have vocal cords.
So you want a cheeseburger without cheese.
Hold the... called the Jeep.
I said, yes, ma'am, whatever you call it.
Take a break with Tim Wildman and the gang. Friday mornings at 10 Central on American Family Radio.
If you like trips where you have to plan everything, then maybe our tour is not for you. Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman with American Family Association and American Family Radio. Of course, I'm talking about our spiritual heritage tours of Washington, D.C., Mount Vernon, and then a separate trip to Williamsburg, Virginia. And guess what? We take care of everything. All you have to do is, as they say, show up. But we take these spiritual heritage tours twice a year, once in June and once in September. Stephen McDowell of the Providence Foundation, who is a historian, will be joining us for both tours, and he will tell you everything you need to know about the places, the times, the events that we will experience on these tours of Washington, D.C. and Williamsburg. For all the information, just go to the website spiritualheritagetours.com. That's spiritualheritagetours.com for everything.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next. Liberty University is preparing students to enter a competitive job market. They have a low student-to-professor ratio, a caring Christian faculty, and more than 550 programs of study, ranging from undergraduate certificates to doctoral degrees. As the largest Christian university in the world, Liberty continues to establish itself as both a leading liberal arts university and an institution dedicated to the Christian faith. Learn more at liberty.edu. That's liberty.edu. Several years ago, I wrote a book that documented the unrelenting attacks on American values, faith, family, freedom. I placed the blame directly at the feet of the Democrat Party and the mainstream media. And I believe that to be the case today as much as I did when I wrote God Bless America. During his State of the Union address, President Trump reminded us of our shared values, talking about the importance of family. He reminded us it is in God we trust. Those very words seemed to trigger every Democrat in attendance. Instead of cheering, they sat stone-faced, arms crossed in defiance. They refused to even acknowledge the armed forces, an unforgivable breach of decorum. MSNBC's Joy Reid said the president's affirmation of church and the national anthem was the embodiment of 1950s values, a charge echoed by others in the mainstream media who would rather we take up residence in Sodom and Gomorrah instead of Mayberry, USA. I'm Todd Starnes.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Back, everybody, to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. That's the name of this show right here, Today's Issues on AFR. We appreciate you listening to American Family Radio. I'm Tim Wildman with Walker Wildman, Fred Jackson, and Ray Pritchard. Ray's in Dallas. Walker, Fred, and yours truly, we're in Tupelo, news capital of the world. Right, Fred? OneNewsNow.com is based here.
That's right. That's what we tell everybody.
That's right. All right, so one other note I wanted to talk about for just a moment, and then we're going to go to our guest. But Walker, I don't want to rehash everything we just talked about for the last few minutes relating to this memo that the White House is going to authorize to be released. We don't know, sometime today, perhaps. But was it not, who was the gentleman who went to President Trump, well, then candidate Trump, and told him you're being wiretapped, so to speak?
Yeah.
Whatever you call the term today, you know what I'm talking about.
Right.
Your phones are being listened to by the government. Who went and told him that?
Yes, on November 17th, just a week after the election, November 17th, 2016, then our current NSA director Admiral Mike Rogers, who is one of the very few Obama officials still working for the executive
branch. Even today?
Today, he's still the NSA director. He traveled to Trump Tower, and it is believed that he told President Trump that he was being spied on by the Obama administration. Thus, the next day, President-elect Trump moved his entire transition team, hundreds of people, a big operation, to Bedminster, New Jersey, his golf course there, Trump's golf course, to avoid being spied on.
from Trump Tower to there?
To New Jersey. They moved from Trump Tower
to New
Jersey.
They physically moved everybody?
Yes, they moved hundreds of people, all kind of equipment. Very unprecedented move.
Wow.
Because President-elect Trump thought he was being, their entire transition team was being spied on in Trump Tower.
But I wonder if that NSA director, what's the gentleman? He's
Mike Rogers.
Admiral. Navy guy? Yeah. I wonder if he, you know, that's pretty, he serves at the pleasure of the president, right?
Right.
And yet he's going to tell Donald Trump, well, Donald Trump had been elected by then, right?
President-elect.
That you're being spied on. That just seems...
Can you imagine, though, if he was fired by, in the last days of President Barack Obama?
Well, they tried to fire him.
Yeah, James, but can you imagine if that happened?
Right.
Then Rogers goes out and tells the world.
Right.
But I'm just saying the NSA director, if anybody should know that you're being spied on,
yes.
he should know, right?
He was tipped off by his own department that there was some illegal spying going on.
Good for him.
And cleaned it up the best he could and then went and told
at least there's a few people with integrity.
Yeah, good for him.
Yeah.
You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Well, today we've been talking here on American Family Radio about our new documentary that has been being announced today and released. It's called The God Who Speaks. We're very, very proud of this documentary in the right way, because it is excellent. And joining us to talk about it is the director, M.D. Perkins. M.D. works for us here at American Family Studios, which is under the umbrella of American Family Radio. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks MD. For having me.
The God Who Speaks documentary, which is how long? All right. First of all, give me a paragraph about what this is exactly.
Sure. This is a 90-minute documentary that traces the evidence for biblical authority and the reliability of the scriptures. So how do we get the Bible that we hold in our hands today? That's one of the key questions that we seek to answer here. Why can you trust it? Why do we call it the Word of God? All of those are essential questions.
You know, this is so good because so many of us in the Christian community, we just grew up with the Bible. And it's kind of one of those things you just don't, you've never really questioned where it came from, mm-hmm. or you just know that mama reads it and she says that's what God wants you to read. And so it's just sort of, you just get it by osmosis.
Sure.
But in this case, which is good too, in and of itself, we should be taught by our parents to revere the Word of God, right?
Right.
Yeah.
But then you get to a certain point in your life when you have questions.
Mm-hmm.
About the authenticity, the authority, the legitimacy of this book that mom and dad said you should love and respect. And that's what we do. We show Christians and the non-Christians too why we can trust the Bible, right?
Yeah, I mean, what happens when you get a question from a skeptic that says, yeah, well, there's thousands of textual variants that exist in the old manuscripts of the New Testament. How can you be sure that you actually have the words that Jesus intended mm-hmm. to say? Or how can you be certain that God's word has not been corrupted by different people with agendas at certain points in history? And if all you have is God said it, I believe it, that settles it, well, that doesn't give you a whole lot of confidence to answer those kinds of objections. Hmm. And really, that's what we hope that Christians will gain from watching a documentary like this, is it gives you that sense of confidence. So you don't have to be embarrassed by those kinds of questions, because there actually are legitimate mm-hmm. intellectual answers to those questions, and we can give those to people.
The story of the Bible and the history of how it came to be is amazing, with a capital A. And that's a word I use because I can't think of a better word. Michael, MD, tell us about how people can watch the trailer, can buy the DVD.
Yeah, please go to thegodwhospeaks.org, thegodwhospeaks.org, And there you can watch the two-minute trailer that gives you a nice summary of the content of the documentary. And from there you can click over and actually buy a copy of the DVD. It's a two-disc DVD set. We're also doing a kind of an on-demand through that site as well. And if you're interested in screening this at your church or in a small public setting, we have site licenses available to purchase there as well.
The God Who Speaks what?
TheGodWhoSpeaks.org.
.org. And they can go and purchase a DVD. Can you also watch it online?
Yes, yes. There's an on-demand option there as well through that link.
Okay, TheGodWhoSpeaks.org. TheGodWhoSpeaks.org. Now, who are some of the people that we have featured in this documentary?
Well, there's lots of names that people may recognize, names like Alistair Begg or the late R.C. Sproul. We got one of his last interviews before he passed away. Erwin Lutzer, Josh McDowell, Alex McFarland. I mean, it's a broad mix from across the evangelical community. These are pastors, apologists, and scholars. Some of the scholars you may not be familiar with, but a man like Dan Wallace, he is one of the foremost experts on the New Testament manuscripts in the world, and he spends all of his time researching and reading through and documenting all of what is exactly contained in all of the Greek New Testament manuscripts that are known to be in existence.
One of the things in the video, the DVD, by the way, let's go ahead and play. What we're going to do now is play an audio. How long is this? 50 seconds or so? Okay, this is just a 50-second outtake from The God Who Speaks, just to give you a flavor, folks, of what you'll hear.
What we believe about the Bible is based on what we believe about its source.
We have essentially a dual authorship. So it's true to say that Paul wrote Romans. It's equally true to say that God wrote Romans.
The Bible subjects itself to historical verification. It puts itself at risk of inquiry.
He says, we saw this. We didn't make up a story to make you feel better. We're not just giving you, you know, the spirit of Christmas or the inspiration of Easter. And that sets the Bible apart from almost everything else in the ancient world and its religious pantheon of gods and goddesses.
That's just a 50-second outtake from a 90-minute presentation. It's a documentary we've created that M.D. Perkins here, who's the director, he oversaw the making of this film for us here at American Family Association and American Family Studios. And how long is this in the making, by the way?
This is 2 years. When you talk about the initial concept and idea, about a year of that was research and prep, and another year of that was spent in production. Wow. And editing and kind of getting the finishing touches together.
Go to the website, thegodwhospeaks.org, folks. You've got to have this DVD. You really do. And help us spread the word about it. Have you had a chance to see any of it, Ray?
Tim, I have. And MD, I want to congratulate you and your team. It is stunning. The visual part, which you can't see on the radio, right. there are scenes from Israel, from the Holy Land, ancient archaeological sites inside the old city of Jerusalem, using, I suppose, drone technology and the latest in video and music. Yeah. I can tell you, folks, there is nothing like it out there. It is of the highest quality. It's beautiful and it's stunning. And MD, I do have a question for you.
Sure.
What do you say to somebody who goes, okay, this is interesting to me, but it's above my head. I didn't go to seminary. Am I really going to be able to understand what these guys are talking about?
Well, see, that's the thing. You don't have to be a PhD in the Bible to be able to defend the scriptures. And part of the whole point of this project was to make all of this information very accessible to the common person sitting in the pew, the person who says, you know, I'm not a Bible scholar. I don't know a whole lot about theology or church history, but, you know, all you really need is a little bit, you need some factual information, you need to know a little bit of facts about how the Bible came together, you need a little bit of historical continuity to understand what were some of the issues in the days of the early church, and then you need a little bit of theology, some of those questions about the inspiration of the Bible, what does it mean for it to be written by human beings and yet have ultimately God as its author. So all of that is really, that's the whole point of this. That's why we made a documentary and we didn't write a theology book, is because we want the common person to be able to sit down with this and really engage with what's being said there.
And let me just jump in on that, MD. I think this is the sort of documentary video. Documentary, you know, to some people may sound a little boring. It's not. It's gripping. It's engrossing. It's unbelievably beautiful. I want to suggest to our listeners that buy two copies. Buy a copy for yourself and buy a copy to give to your pastor. Buy a copy for your youth group. I think young people, especially, say, upper high school students and college-age students, they're bombarded with attacks on the Bible. And, MD, this documentary is going to go a long way to restore faith in the younger generation that we can trust the Word of God.
Well, that's certainly our prayer. I mean, that's AFA's heart. That's why we made this. And that's why we want as many people as they can to get a hold of this and to watch it and really engage with what's being said there.
TheGodWhoSpeaks.org. Go there now. You can watch the trailer. You can buy a DVD copy, or you can download the documentary online. As Ray just said, MD and his team there in putting this together, you know, they have it rivals, and this is a compliment, it rivals a Ken Burns type documentary. Don't you think, Ray?
Oh, it's the same things that Ken Burns did, say, with the Civil War series and the others.
Right.
They've taken those same production values and brought it into The God Who Speaks. So this is not something you would have seen. It wouldn't have been possible to do this 30 or 40 years ago, but this is on the very cutting edge of what technology can do. So anybody who looks at The God Who Speaks, you're going to be grabbed emotionally, viscerally, just by the beauty of it from the very first moment.
Right, and how much did that drone cost us that we bought?
It was just a couple of thousand dollars for the drone.
A couple of thousand dollars?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But the footage you garner from that.
It's unbelievable.
It's amazing.
It's worth
we still got
20
it?
Times more than that. Oh, yeah.
Where is it? Is it in the closet?
It's in the closet, yeah.
Okay.
Just waiting for the
next documentary?
That's right.
The next video to do?
Yeah, go ahead and relight it.
MD and some of the rest of the team at American Family Studios were over in Israel when I was over there last March with our tour group, and they were filming at that time all over Israel with the drone, which is the video quality of that drone, just stunning. I mean, the beauty and the as Ray said, the archaeological sites that they captured, the religious sites they captured, all over Israel, and the natural beauty.
Yeah, get out there into the Judean desert and see just the striking landscapes out there. I mean, it's beautiful from the ground, but once you get into the sky, it just takes it to a whole other level.
Yeah. All right, thank you, MD.
Well, thank you so much.
Appreciate it. MD Perkins, who traveled 300 or 400 steps to be with us today on the program.
Thank you. It was worth the journey.
Have a safe journey back and watch the cars as you cross the street.
I will. Thanks, Tim.
Okay. TheGodWhoSpeaks.org. TheGodWhoSpeaks.org. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim with Walker and Fred and Ray. You can watch this show if you want to and or listen at our Today's Issues Facebook page. We do this live. And then, so you can watch, if people want to use the podcast, Walker, they can do that too, right?
Yes, they can visit afr.net. The show, for example, today's show will be posted shortly afterwards. And so this afternoon you can go and listen if you missed portions of it. afr.net, you can listen to past shows each day on AFR.net.
Let me just say this too, folks. A lot of you listen to AFR on the radio, and you travel, and then you run out of our radio station. I got this from when I was talking to some of our friends in Dallas the other night, and they said, hey, I hate when we lose you. You know, we get south of downtown and we lose you or whatever. You can travel anywhere in the country, folks, anywhere in the world, and get AFR on our app. Now, that's it's very easy to do. It takes about 1 minute to download the American Family Radio app on your iPhone or iPad or similar type device, and then you can listen to AFR anywhere on that smartphone.
Mm-hmm.
Anywhere in the world, you can listen to American Family Radio clear as a bell, as if you had a radio station right there on your phone or your iPad or other similar device. So take advantage of that. We have, thousands?
Last time I checked, we had over 60,000.
People that use our app?
Yes.
Well, it kind of makes me nervous how many people we're talking to here. Okay.
Well, watch what you say.
Okay, better watch what I say here on live radio. All right. Well, joining us now is our good friend, Dr. Alex McFarland. Alex joins us from North Carolina. Good morning, Alex.
Good morning, everybody.
Alex, over 60,000 people may be listening to you on an app all over the world right now.
Well, I will try to get my verb tenses correct.
So don't blow it.
That's okay? Right.
Don't blow it. Alex, thanks for joining us. Alex is co-host of the Exploring the Word, which is aired each afternoon here on American Family Radio from 3 to 4 Central Time. I don't know if you heard our interview with M.D. Perkins. Did you hear us talking?
I did. I heard the majority of it, yes.
You spent your life, Alex, you're featured on this video. You spent much of your career, I should say. I don't know if you were doing this at the age of 5. But much of your career you've spent in the area that we call apologetics. That is basically defending the Christian faith intellectually. Mm-hmm. That's what we call that. And why is this necessary in this day and age, Alex? Why can't you just say, you know, the Bible is true because Mama said it was?
Wow, great question. And indeed, I have really, you know, I got into apologetics when I first became a Christian. I was a college student, and, you know, a lot of my friends at college were skeptics. And this is 30 years ago, Tim. And so I began to, you know, read my Bible, and then I discovered Josh McDowell books, and, you know, then read the footnotes in all of Josh's books and discovered that there's this incredibly rich discipline called apologetics. We need this today, and that's why I'm so thrilled that the American Family Studios created The God Who Speaks, and I was just profoundly honored to be a part of it, along with people like R.C. Sproul. Probably the last film footage ever of the great scholar R.C. Sproul is in The God Who Speaks. Erwin Lutzer and so many others. Tim, I was proud to be a part of it because millennials and younger, and Generation Z, is twice as likely to be atheist than any other previous American generations. And what's so sad is so many young people are atheists and they just dismiss out of hand the idea of God or the Bible being the written revelation of the Lord, which it is. But they have not heard the evidence. And, you know, I'm in front of thousands of young people a year, and we talk about how, yeah, it's true. Historically, it's true. The manuscripts have been preserved. And not only is the Bible trustworthy, it is of divine origin. And they respond because so many of them, they've not heard any evidence. They just heard some, you know, professor at a community college trashing Christianity, or they read some blog site. And when they're presented with the evidence, the compelling truth of the trustworthiness of the Bible, they are open to it, and we need to tell them.
Ray, go ahead.
Alex, talk to us a little bit about where are the attacks coming from today? Is it more on textual criticism, or is it more in the realm of, well, you believe the Bible, it's true for you, but it's not true for me? What sorts of attacks are having an impact today?
Great question. That is a really, really great question. Well, the attack not only on Christianity and on religious freedom, but really, frankly, on our Constitution and our way of life is really, you know, socialism slash progressivism. And, you know, I want everybody to know that the secular worldview is driving so much of our culture today. Thank God. I really think the fires of revival are beginning to blow. But in terms of Christianity on the campus, and, you know, most of our kids will probably go to college and try to get an education. But mom and dad, you really need to know that your kids, unless they go to a solidly Christian school, their Christianity is going to be attacked. And it's not so much, Ray, the historicity of the Bible or the manuscripts, because the preservation of the manuscripts is unimpeachable. I mean, it is so clear that the manuscripts have been preserved and we have the content of God's revelation. But I would say the attack is what we would call an ad hominem attack. That means to the man. Now, what we're saying is, in other words, Christians are slammed. Christians are haters. Christians are idiots. Christians are ignorant. That is old paradigm. Come on, it's the new world. And so there's this intense pressure to either abandon Christianity or keep quiet about it. And it's a rare young person who has the courage, the conviction, and the equipping to confidently stand strong in the face of so much peer pressure and classroom pressure in the other direction.
Well, hey, we just got a question that came in on the comments part of the Facebook page. Somebody's watching the live stream, heard us mention apologetics, and wanted to know, what is apologetics? Does that mean we are apologizing for the Bible?
Oh, great question. You know, it's been my privilege to write about this in a number of books. I mean, if you go to the AFA store or go to the online bookstores, you can find a lot of the books God's allowed me to write. But let me say, apologetics is not apologizing. It's not saying, I'm sorry. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm a Christian. Please like me anyway. No, it's a legal word, an ancient legal word. It means to speak in defense of something. Now, in the Word of God, a number of verses, like probably most famously 1 Peter 3:15, be ready always to give an answer to everyone who asks a reason for the hope that you have. The word answer, give a reason. Why do you believe what you believe? Jude verse 3 says, earnestly contend or stand up for the faith. So apologetics is the discipline of defending the faith and persuading people of Jesus through evidence, reasoning, and prayers and love. It's defending the faith, and it's something in this milieu that we really must do.
Alex, it's Fred here. We're just about out of time. I want to go back to a statement you just made a few moments ago, and I just want to make sure that I and the rest of the audience heard it. You said one of the forces working against biblical Christianity today is socialism. Mm-hmm. Did I hear you correctly on that?
And progressivism, yes.
Yeah. Well, explain to us how socialism, because we're living in a society today here in the United States where the socialist way of thinking is becoming very powerful amongst our young people, but even in some areas of government. So explain to us a little bit how that undermines the Christian message.
God bless you, Fred. You know, for so many young people that sadly have never seen America at her best, or they've never lived in an America where patriotism was promoted, they've come to believe that government is the answer. The state is the daddy and the babysitter that really must provide our needs. And we're losing the idea of personal accountability. Now, William Bradford in the Pilgrim Colony, one of the things that he did that has been a core of American life is personal accountability and personal property ownership, not only the right to free speech, the right to religious expression, but property ownership. With all that, it's just presupposed personal accountability. We're accountable to each other. Ultimately, we're accountable to God. In progressivism, you lose the sense of being an individual. The state is the God, and we're not accountable. We don't have any authority or freedom or liberty, and we therefore don't have any accountability. We're what Mortimer Adler, the great editor of the great books of the Western world, he said, we just become vegetable beneficiaries of the state. In other words, just passive. And friend, maybe it's a dot we'll connect on another day, but there's a link between socialism, progressivism, and godlessness within the culture. And the light of Christianity, which our founders had in their hearts as they framed our Constitution, that is the answer that we must return to.
Alex, thanks so much. You and Bert, what are you going to be talking about this afternoon?
Isaiah 42 and 43. Hope you'll be there, folks.
That's at 3:05 Central Time on American Family Radio. Join Alex and Bert Harper for Exploring the Word this afternoon on American Family Radio. All right, Fred, thank you for your contributions.
Good to be here. We'll be watching for that memo.
Okay. Fred will exit and enter Steve Jordahl for the last half hour of today's issues on American Family Radio. All right, we're going to take a break for news, and we'll be back at 5 after.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.